All right, this is it. My name is Jeff Kay, and you are listening to episode 174 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. So I was out there cleaning off my car this morning. Once again, it happens almost on a daily basis. I'm not going to say it's every day, but it feels like it's 6 out of 7. And mister, I am fully, completely, and absolutely sick of it. It's out there because my son goes, he leaves around 10:30 in the morning to go to work. And I have to go out there because I'm always parked behind him. This is the rhythm of the world. This is the way things work. We're always, our four cars are always situated in the exact same configuration on account of when we get home. So I'm out there cleaning off my car again, bitching. I'm getting sick of it. Oh my God, it never ends. And then I fall on my ass right into a snowbank. And I got snow, and my entire back, my ass, the back of my legs, I'm wearing shorts, by the way, are like encased, like buried in snow. And I can't get up because my legs are like folded up underneath me, and I'm fat, and it's slick, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, you know, just shouting profanity, just screaming every combination of profane word that jumps into my mind, and my son's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm fine," you know. I'm just like lashing out at him, you know. He had nothing to do with it. So I'm out there. This is like a half hour ago. My back and my ass is still wet. There's still a moisture. I got some kind of ass moisture that's, you know, remaining. Oh my God, I'm getting sick of it. And these guys, these wizards of weather, these genius, you know, what do you call it? What, meteorologists? They said, oh, it's going to be insignificant light dusting of snow. Yeah, right. There's like, you go out there right now and it's snowing like a bastard. There's a whole bunch, it's already piling up on the roads. Cars are covered. And now they're saying, all right, well, maybe it's 3 to 6 now. What happened to literally like an hour ago when you said it was going to be insignificant? How could you not predict the weather an hour in the future? You know, in 2021, I don't understand. Oh, my God, I'm getting irritated. Oh, never been so furious. I'm just full of fury. I mean, I'm serious. This is getting, I'm sick of it. You know, every day I have to do it 3 times. I have to do it when he leaves. I have to do it when I leave. And then I have to do it again when I get off work. 3 times a day I have to clean off my car, drive through icy roads, and I'm getting sick of it. I'm tired of it. God. Bullshit. It is like full bullshit. I mean, blue ribbon, 4-star bullshit. God. Getting irritated. What do I have written down on my notebook? I have some things. Let's see. If there's anything worth talking about. Sorry. I'm vibrating with anger. last night. Here's how we're gonna start this one. So last night I was having a few adult beverages, not very many. I'm not drinking, you know. I don't want to give you guys the impression that I'm like some drunk stumbling around. No, I drink a few beers in the evening sometimes, not every day, but I do enjoy craft beer too. So does Tony. She does it. She, you know, we usually on the weekends, we usually like split a 6-pack. So we have 3 beers each. Let me take a hit off this. My voice is starting to on top of everything else. All right. And then she quits, you know, and sometimes I come down here and have a couple more, you know, that's on the weekends. And then on the weekdays, I often don't have any or 1 or 2, you know, I'm not hammering like a 30 pack of Keystone Light or anything like that. But anyway, last night we had a handful of beers, and I came down here and I was hungry, and I was like, "What do we have?" And I went up there and I'm like, "Oh, hell yeah, Chinese leftovers." Is there anything better at like 11 o'clock at night when you've had a few brewskis than Chinese leftovers? So we went to we ordered for all four of us from this place called China Palace, which is really good. And I didn't eat all mine because the thing comes with like egg drop soup. It comes with the whatever soup you want. I went with the egg drop. And I got, an egg roll and a whole bunch of the food, giant serving of food. So I didn't finish the main course, and I stuck it in the fridge. And I forgot that it was in there. And I'm like, wait a second. Hang on a second. I got that, I got the Chinese leftovers up there. I'm like, woo-hoo. I'm like excited, pumping my fist in the air. Man, that shit was perfect. That hit the spot. Is there anything better? At 11:30 at night, after you've had a few, if you've had a couple of craft beers, I submit that there is nothing better than that. So that was exciting. It's Americanized, I wonder if people everybody that works in that place is presumably from China. I mean, they can barely speak English. So I wonder if they've had to Americanize. I know they have. I mean, I guarantee you, if you went to China and had food, as they call it over there, went to China and had food, it would be very different from what the Chinese food is here, right? I know this girl who grew up in Poland, woman. I don't want to call her a girl. Sorry. No, I don't mean any offense. I'm just old and don't know any better. She grew up in Poland, and she came over here when she was 15, and she said that they were giving her Polish food, and she was like, what's this crap? I don't know what this is. It's not anything to do with Polish food. And then all the Polish people around here are like, what the? They think they're tapped into their Polish roots, and somebody who's from Poland doesn't even recognize the food that they're eating, which they're calling Polish food. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, and when we were in England, back in, 2007, 2008, whatever it was, we were at this pub out in the country. We were on one of those road trips. We took these bus trips outside of London. One time we went to the Cotswolds. It's all these little villages that look like a postcard. It's like unbelievable. It's like incredible. All right. And then another day we went to Oxford and I don't know. What's that town where old Billy Shakespeare grew up? Anyway, so that was the day. So we're out in the middle of nowhere, out in the country, and they took us to this pub. And we had lunch there, and I ordered shepherd's pie, right? And I'm like, I love shepherd's pie. I love it, And then I was thinking, this is where it came from. This is ground zero for shepherd's pie. Maybe Scotland, probably Scotland would be more. But, we're near ground zero for shepherd's pie, right? So I ordered some of that out at a pub out in the country in England, and it was gross. It was like real like greasy. It had like gristle in it, like I don't know, shards of bone, I think it had like a couple teeth in there. I don't know. It was no good. I choked down as much as I could. But that shit was a little too authentic. I prefer the Americanized version when it's just, ground beef and the vegetables and all that stuff, mashed potatoes and the cheese and all that. I love it. And the gravy. I don't know. I didn't like the, I like the Americanized version of these things. And I don't know, I probably shouldn't admit that, but that's what I like. I love shepherd's pie, but I didn't like it there at the Ground Zero. I prefer it with a few less horse teeth. Or no, maybe it was like, I don't know what it was. Sheep? In my main entree, I don't like sheep teeth. I mean, you can call me a bumpkin all you want. That's the way it is. But anyway, 11:30 at night, when you realize, oh man, some Chinese food in the fridge. That's the way it works. Who's with me on this? What's the best thing? I should do that at the Surf Report website. I should ask, what's the best leftovers at 11:30 at night when you've had a few beers or a few pops or whatever? Whatever your preference. That'd be a good question. I feel like I should do that. Let's see what else I got here. I've been watching. I don't know why, but I got obsessed. Yeah, that show American Pickers, you know. I started getting obsessed. I'm like, why is that Frank not on there? Yeah, that little short dude with the mustache. Like, why is he not on there anymore? They don't even mention him, you know. And I don't know. I know he got a DUI a couple years ago. He was driving up the interstate the wrong direction, I think. Am I wrong? It feels like he was. I don't know. So now he's not even on the show, and they haven't mentioned him. He hasn't been on there for a long time. So I started talking to somebody at work about it, and I started getting a little obsessed with it. So I started watching the new season, which is season 22. How is that possible? 22? What do? They have two seasons a year or something? Because that shit hasn't been on for 22 years. I don't understand how they come up with these seasons. How can it be season 22 of American Pickers? I don't understand that. It might have been on for 11 years. You can't have two seasons a year. I don't understand anything anymore. Everything confuses me. But anyway, so I started watching the new episodes on my computer down here through History, you know, the History Channel. And I'm getting obsessed. I noticed in the new episodes, they mentioned Frank a couple times. Somebody asked him, you know, Mike Wolf, the main guy. So how's Frank doing? Oh, man, his back is jacked up. He's got two steel rods in his running up the side of his spine or something. Like, I'm like, what the? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's more to the story, you know. But at least they acknowledge that he exists. They went for a whole season. They didn't even acknowledge. And people are on, like on the Instagram, on their Instagram site, people are always like, what happened to Frank? And they won't answer. It's like radio silence. So that just makes you wonder. I mean, what the hell's going on with this guy? The guy was on there for years, and now he's just off the show. But he's still listed as a cast member. I don't know what the hell's going on. I want to know. I don't know why is this important. I don't know. It doesn't make any. It's not important. But damn it, I want to know. I get obsessed with this stuff. I started watching these shows. I watched. There's like 7 episodes in the new season, and they got this guy on there named. Since Frank's not on there, they have all these people sitting in for him. And there's this guy on there. He's referred to as Jersey John. Are you familiar with this guy? He has like some kind of like motor. No, it's a bicycle / furniture store, I think, in New Jersey somewhere. And Mike knows him somehow, and I don't know, they said they came up as pickers. I don't know, you come up through the ranks, come up through the minor leagues, and you get called up to the big leagues in the picking game. I don't know. They came up together somehow. Jersey John, he's referred to. He looks like Kid Rock. You know what I'm talking about? So he's been sitting in for the missing Frank, the mysteriously missing Frank. And I'm like, I don't know about this guy. You know, he seems a little. The very first episode when he's on there, he's like riding. He goes, "All right, where are we going today, Mike?" They're in the van, and Mike's like, "Where are we going today, Jersey John?" And he goes, "I don't know. Let me check." He goes, and then Mike's like, "You know, you might want to do a little advance. You know, a little research. Maybe just do a little bit of homework before we go on the air. You know." It might makes things a little bit better if you know put in a little bit of effort. giving him shit, and they like left it in the show. I thought that was pretty good. So anyway, this guy, this Jersey John, this Kid Rock lookalike, he's grown on me, and I really like him, and I think that they could just jettison Frank at this point. I think that Jersey John should take the place of Frank, right? And another thing that since I'm watching all these things on demand, they show these ads all the time. It's like loaded. I mean, this thing is larded up with ads, you know? And they show the same ones over and over. And there's this commercial in there, and you can't fast forward. I mean, all that's disabled. You have to sit there and watch them, or you can go get some Chinese food out of the fridge or something. But you can't fast forward. So they show the same. There's like three or four commercials that they just show over and over and over. And there's this one for one of those drugs. It's some kind of medication. You know, these drug companies have these ads. And it's for, apparently it's for people with diabetes, except it's something you shoot up a person's nose. And there's this woman in it, and everybody's dressed in yellow in this commercial. I don't know if you've seen it, but everybody in the commercial is dressed in yellow, and the houses are yellow, and everything's yellow. The cars that go by, yellow. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's very, very artistic. And so this woman's like strutting down the street, you know. She got some kind of swagger to her. And she goes into like some shop, and she talks to the person, the woman that's working there, and shows her this medication. And apparently that you're supposed to like let people know that in case you were to like collapse and go into a convulsion or something, they're supposed to take this thing out of your purse and squirt it up your nose, you know? And so she's like walking, but she has like this swagger, like she's got some kind of diabetes swagger. You know what I mean? She's like strutting, you know, and going into these stores and putting this on these people. If I was working in some kind of a shop and I was making minimum wage, and some woman comes strutting through the door, you know, telling me that if I collapse and start having a seizure on the floor, you know, this is going to be your job. This is now on you, you know. And don't worry. If something goes wrong, you know, my family won't sue you. Don't worry about it, you know. I mean, you know, if you do something wrong, you don't execute this medical procedure, even though you're a clerk, you know. Don't worry. You know, there's a pretty good chance. I mean, I can't give you a 100%. There's a probably pretty good chance that nobody will sue your ass, you know. So anyway, so she's like strutting around. She's telling all her family members, you know, in every store she goes in, the coffee shop. She's in the coffee shop telling the guy, you know, if I collapse over here in the corner, like, what the hell? And I see it over and over and over and over. She's like so full of confidence and swagger. She's got the diabetes swagger. I don't understand it. I don't know. Those drug commercials, Tony always says, why are these people in these drug commercials have such a wonderful life? And they're always showing them like in these beautiful homes, and they're like on the beach, and everybody's smiling and laughing. And another thing I always notice about these things is they're very well acted. You know, a lot of commercials, they have really terrible acting in. Not in those drug commercials. It feels like they're really good. They're really good actors. You know, it's like I don't know. But while I'm watching the Pickers, Jersey John, you know, and whatever Danielle and Mike's brother. I can't remember his name. And I see that same commercial. That woman with the yellow dress on. You know, trying to bring everybody else. Everybody's like, okay, well, yeah. I mean, I'd be happy to help. You know, I'd be like, get out of town, man. Don't put that on me. I'm not a nurse. You know, I can barely wipe my own ass. Sorry to be gross, but you know what I'm saying. All right, so that I've been watching that, and let's see what else I got in here. My $10 scratch off. My $10 scratch-off project. All right, so I've been doing it for 5 weeks now. I'm going to do it for a year. I'm going to buy a $10 scratch-off ticket every weekend. And I'm going to see at the end of the year where I stand, because this guy my dad knows tells my dad all the time that the $10 scratch-off is the best bet in all of gambling, right? So I'm going to do it for a year and see what the hell, see where I stand, right? And so I'm 5 weeks in. I got $50 into this deal, and I've won 30. So I'm down 20. The first week I did it, I won 20 bucks. So I was up. That was the only week I was up. Since then, I've either been even or down. You know what I mean? So the first week I won 20, and then 3 weeks in a row I won nothing. And then this weekend I won 10. So the thing about the $10, and I was talking to Tony about this, and she doesn't agree with me. I told her, I said, I don't know, the $10, I gambled $10, and I won $10. That feels like a ripoff to me. That's not satisfactory at all. You know, I said, I feel like I would almost rather lose than to win the exact same amount of money that I bet. It's like I didn't do it. It's like I skipped a week. You know what? She goes, what are you talking about? You'd rather lose than win $10? I said, it's not that. It's like a psychological thing. I either have to lose, I have to move the ball one way or the other, right? And when you gamble 10 and you win 10, that's just treading water. That's not satisfactory at all, you know? So anyway, right now, I'm 5 weeks in. I spent 50. I've won 30. And I'm down 20. And another thing that concerns me a little bit, I strongly considered, I changed my mind at the last second. I strongly considered going back over there and trading that $10 in, the $10 winnings, for another ticket, which would go against, you know, the rules that I put down when I started the Pulitzer caliber project, the $10 scratch-off project. And I said that on that day when I came up with that idea, I said, I'm going to buy one ticket a week, no more, no less. I'm going to spend $520 on scratch-offs in a year, and I want to see how much I've won, right? And that was the rule. So we're 5 weeks in, I'm already like, I'm going to trade this $10 in for another ticket, you know? And I was thinking, you know, this is the way that gambling gets a hold of you, you know? This is how it starts. And I have to worry about that kind of stuff because I have kind of a, you know, my personality. I have to guard against my own personality, you know? So I decided not to do it, but it was highly unsatisfactory. Gamble 10, win 10, that's bullshit, you know? It feels like it's not real unless you win more than what you gamble or you lose, you know? This treading water, do you understand what I'm saying? Are you with me on this deal? Because, I don't know, it sucks. But anyway, if you want to follow along, every weekend I'm going to post the results. Usually, so far I've been buying them on Saturdays. So pretty much every Saturday afternoon, if you want to check it out, or Sunday or whatever, and it'll have the results up there. And I'm going to do it for a year, and it's at the WVSR.com/scratchoff. Check it out. And it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. Now we got other people. I think producer Zip's doing it, and I can't remember. There's a couple people at the website are doing it. You know what's gonna happen? You know what's gonna happen is I'm gonna win. Okay, I'm gonna spend $520 and I'm gonna win $210. Right. So I'm gonna spend $520. I'm gonna win $210 over a year, and somebody who I inspired with this project is going to win $250,000. You know, that's what's going to happen. And that's, you talk about unsatisfactory. Put that in that column. Hang on a second. I need another hit of this thing. That's that Dunkin' Donuts coffee, or is it just called Dunkin' now? Can't say donut. I don't think they sell donuts anymore. Am I wrong? I don't know. What else I got listed here? Speaking of fast food, the other day I was thinking about something. You know, at KFC, you know, I don't really like them. They have some stuff. You know what? You know what's the best thing about KFC? They just built one near our house. And my kids love it, especially the older boy. I mean, he could eat his entire, you know how I say I could eat every meal at Cracker Barrel? I think he could eat every meal at KFC. All right. You know what I think about KFC? The best things about that is the sides. All their sides are fantastic. They do a bang-up job with the mashed potatoes and the gravy and, you know, the coleslaw and the side, the biscuits. Oh, man. But I don't want the chicken. I guess it's good. I'm not into that. Not all that much. I mean, I can eat it, you know, but it's not nearly at the top of my list. But, you know, one thing they have over there is the famous bowl, they call it, the KFC bowl, which is just mashed potatoes. It's like shepherd's pie, except without the teeth, you know. Without the, I don't know what the hell it is, sheep teeth, you know. And it's a mixture of mashed potatoes, gravy, chicken, corn, cheese. It's got cheese on it, you know what I'm saying? And, it costs $5 and you get a soda with it and a cookie. And the cookies used to be really good. Now they taste like they're come out of some kind of laboratory. I don't know. The cookies are letting me down recently. But anyway, so you get to all that for $5. The only problem with that is it's too small. I'm a man of size. I need a lot of fuel. It takes a lot of fuel to keep this engine going, baby. But I was thinking the other day, you know what I wish they'd serve over there? And is the famous bowl, the KFC bowl, except in one of those chicken buckets. You know what I mean? Like the bucket of chicken you can order. Just fill one of those bastards up with mashed potatoes, gravy, chicken, corn, and cheese, you know? And then that would probably do it for me, you know? A chicken bucket full of KFC bowl. What do you think? How much would that cost? $20? Maybe 25? I don't know. Maybe that might be something. You know, that might be something I'd order, you know? Another fast food note is they have that, they have something called the Cravings Box over at Taco Bell. It has all this shit you can order, and it comes with a soda, and it has like three different components. And then you get a soda with it. It costs $5. The only thing about that is if you go over there and try to order that, they'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. You have to order it through the app. That's the only way you can order it. You can only order it through the app. And I don't know. I've never done that before. I've never done any kind of app ordering from Taco Bell. That's a hell of a deal. The Cravings Box. Have you done that? All right. What else I got here? Man, oh, man. I fell down. I still, my ass is wet. I'm still irritated about that. It's taken me off my stride. I think that's it. We're at the end of this thing. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back Thursday or later in the week. Might not be Thursday. Later in the week for the Patreon side of things. Which, if you'd like to hear that episode, you can do it. There's one way to do it, and that is to go to patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. It helps me immensely. And in return, you put it on a credit card, $4 a month comes out. And in return, you get 4 extra episodes, just like this one, for patrons only. Every week. It comes out every week. There's an early, I do one early in the week for the main network, and then I do another one later in the week for patrons. If you want to get in on that deal, if you want to double down, supersize your Surf Report experience, you can do it today at patreon.com/JeffK. $4 will do it. You can donate more than $4, of course. You can do whatever you want over there. Helps me out, and you know, you get an extra episode every week. Also, if you want to be a part of the show, you can call. We have a hotline. It's all set up. The infrastructure is in place. Give me a call, 570-290-8151. Again, 570-290-8151. Call 24 hours a day. It's a voicemail system run by our Google overlords. Something called Google Voice. I don't know. I don't pretend to know. But it works. Works great. So if you have a question, want to leave a message or a comment about it, something that I said on this ridiculous podcast, call me up, 570-290-8151. Also, if you want to send me an email, you can fire that bastard off to surfreportpod@gmail.com. Someday I'm going to open that up and look, see what's in there. It's going to be like Christmas morning. I think that's it. Is that everything? Oh, my mailing list. Every Friday I send out an email. That thing's really good. I work on it all week. Hang on a second. What is wrong with my voice? What am I, I'm like Froggy from Little Rascals. Anyway. Every Friday I send out a recap email to the mailing list. And it just lists all the, it's really good. I work on it all week long. And it's got some good content in there. It's got a recap of the stuff that we've done over the week, which is usually one website update and two podcasts. And then I list, and I write some intro about stuff that's going on, you know, that's exclusively to the email. And then I list at the bottom, I list some crazy shit that I've seen on the internet the past week. That's fun. And I link to them. And then I show you a picture of the mug at the bottom, the coffee mug that I used, putting the email together. And it looks nice. It's professional. It's really good. So if you want to get those, you should sign up. I'll put it in the show notes, the link. Sign up for the, it comes out every Friday. It's good stuff. It's good content. It's not some spammy piece of crap. So if you want to be a part of the Surf Report mailing list, there's about 1,600 people on there currently. So, you know, I got room. I can go up to 2,000 before I have to start paying. Or I have to start forking over some cash. You know, so if you want to join up, do it. And we're at the end of this thing. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back again over at the Patreon side for patrons only. You know, until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see you. Bye. Shepherd's pie. I love it.